Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Hello, everybody. This is Mark Kohler, your host today on just a wild and crazy time. Wow. Thanks for joining us and being here and just trying to hold life together, right? So if you're a new listener, this show is about typically, and we're going to see where the questions go today, about saving taxes, building wealth, protecting our assets. Well, with this pandemic and these problems everybody's facing around the country, just trying to hold it together, it is just a very challenging time. So today, and my co-host Matt Sorensen should be jumping on here as soon as possible. He's having some technical difficulties, but we had prepped quite a few items for the show. We've got a lot of questions to answer as well. So I can handle it here, of course, until Matt's on with us. But today we're talking about the regular tax and legal questions, but also what are the things we can be doing as small business owners if our business has been impacted. Unless you're in the medical supply business selling certain things, I guess there's some businesses that are just really, really busy, maybe, but I think for the most part, the far majority of businesses around the country are closed. People are home. They're not making the revenue they're used to. I'm interested to see how many people are going to be listening to this show. Maybe they're just binging on some Netflix or relaxing or catching up on some personal time things. Hopefully, we're using the time productively. We're busy. We've got we're open for business. Some law firms around the country have closed in specific areas, we're holding it together, and we're trying to help business owners with tough questions of how to get their employees from working at home, what they can be doing in this downtime when their income's down, and all the above.
That's kind of the topic today. So we're going to just see where it goes.
I'm going to be able to probably hold it together here without Matt, if necessary, but so be it. And, you know, back in the good old days, many of you may not know, for 5 years, back in, 2009 to about 2015, I ran the show. It was the Mark Kohler Show. It wasn't the Refresh Your Wealth with Matt Sorensen co-host. I got to run my own show. It was kind of like Dave Ramsey. Now, he's a really smart guy, and I did my best. But basically, I ran out of material after 5 years. That was it. Then it was just me. After that, just talking to myself. No. Show was going great, and Matt would come on a regular basis and be involved, and has been a wonderful co-host over those years. So I'm feeling good here. We're going to make this happen. All right, so we normally do in this kind of an odd time, we're going to see if we can get some of the questions rolling, but if not, some of these issues about what to do when our business is closed, I want to say a little bit more, but we already have some questions in here, and I'm just scrolling through them now. And I don't know. I'm going to first bring up a comment from Mary. I think this is a good one. So I'm just scrolling through. We've got some questions that have nothing to do with the coronavirus and some that do. And so I think we're just going to find a a balance here and go through a variety and go from there. Oh, let me see, too. I think I may have Matt Sorensen on the line now. Let's just confirm.
I am
here. Make sure we've got Matt ready to roll. There we go. There's Mr. Sorensen. So,
man, is anything
Matt?
Working right nowadays? Jeez.
Yeah. Everything's down. Yeah. I was ho-humming a little bit here. I'm embarrassed because I was scrolling through questions. Normally when Matt's talking, I'm scrolling through questions, but I've already got a couple in the hopper ready to go. But, Matt, it's nice to have you here. It's going to run a little more smoothly so I can multitask.
Yeah, well, I'm here. Don't you worry. It's a little tricky getting in. If you had trouble getting in like I did, I was getting busy signals. Looks like it's resolved because I got through. But and if you're not hearing me, well, I guess you're experiencing the same issues I was, and it doesn't matter. So, that was a mini crisis getting on. We'll be talking about crisis management. I just kept going after it. I just kept trying and trying and trying, and then it worked. So, and maybe that's how you get
that's
through crisis
point.
Too. But
yeah. It was a kind of a weird warning for me. I was going to say this. I was starting a question that came in from Mary. I'm going to bring that up. But this morning in Salt Lake City because I was doing a recording yesterday all day, long night, into the night.
Yeah.
And then I was in Salt Lake City this morning. Now, it's like a ghost town in most big cities comparatively to what a busy weekday morning would be like on the freeways and in town and in mall parking lots. At the hotel, there was one other person in the hotel at the breakfast bar. You know, I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, this place you're fighting to get a piece of bacon, you know? And then all of a sudden the earthquake hits. The earthquake. If anybody of you haven't already seen this in the news, just 5 hours ago, a 5.7 magnitude earthquake right out of Salt Lake City. And it was a good 15 seconds long. I'm on a third story of a hotel building, and I'm like, what's going on? Wow, okay, the world's coming to an end. We got earthquakes, a pandemic. Crazy. Crazy time we're in.
I know.
You hanging in there, Matt?
I am hanging in there, and I think it's a good time to – I'm trying to be calm through it all, and, you know, Mark's always the half-glass full kind of guy between the two of us, but I think I'm more of a half-glass full right now, but we want to talk about this. This is some serious time. We want to go through things that we're doing, and we're seeing a lot of our clients do to be smart and navigate some of this crisis, so we want to hit that. Also hit some of the tax and legal questions that are coming in, as we always do on open forum, and small business stuff that's happening. So I think it's going to be a great show. And as we try to do, we try to say something smart. You're the judge of that. And also maybe something funny. We'll try.
Yeah, in this heavy time, it's sometimes it may seem offensive to be a little light and humorous, but You got to keep it going. Before you got on the show, Matt, I was telling everyone back in the good old day about 6 years. For 6 years, I ran the Mark Kohler show all by myself until we drove away every possible listener. And now that Matt's here as the co-host, we can do a little better.
Yeah.
So I was okay. I was going to hold it together if you couldn't get on. All right. So
the first
comment I have that maybe will open the door to this is Mary. Mary W. had a comment, or Mary C. is kind of interesting. She's got, she says, do you want to know what it's like to be a small business owner during the coronavirus pandemic? And she said, remember when the Titanic was sinking and the band continued to play? Well, we're the band. kind of funny, you know, we're there playing the band.
But
I wanted to say this and maybe set a tone, if I could. I was reading an article in the news about business owners being infected around the country, and it really is devastating and traumatic for so many people that are in the entertainment industry. Think of all the people that were gearing up for the NCAA tournament, vendors,
mm-hmm.
And people that are servers or restaurant owners or in any sort of event planning, hotel workers, Vegas is shut down. All of the casinos and workers and vendors that go along with the casinos. And the one that just kind of touched it off too, just on a personal note, was a final story about when you're in high school and you might have been in a high school musical or the orchestra or the choir, and you've been practicing for weeks and months, really getting ready for opening night of your high school senior play. It was canceled this weekend, right? And that was opening night. And for so many, think about that. How many high schools it was opening night around the country for that winter musical or the winter play that you'd been practicing for months for, canceled, never to be done, maybe. And so this is just an unprecedented time. So anyway, Matt, okay, I'm going to shut up here. What your thoughts? I appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite sayings is you can't control the wave, but you can control the surfboard. And so obviously right now the facts are changing and the situation's changing every day, just like a gnarly wave does. And we just got to figure out how to ride it out best. And so that's what we want to talk about. And I think that's the right mentality to have. Know that it's going to change. Know that tomorrow is going to be a little different than the day before. But just expect that. But also be willing to, you know, dodge the next surfer in front of you, or, you know, go into the barrel or whatever it may be on the wave you're on.
Yeah.
But I think we need to have a positive attitude. And I think for all of us, many of the listeners here are small business owners and are kind of leaders in your family or community. And obviously just be a leader right now and try to approach things with common sense. And people see how you act and mimic that in your organizations, wherever you may be. So try to be a leader on this. I want to get into some facts on what's going on too and what I think we should be doing, you should be doing in your business. And because I actually think, and Mark and I were talking about this earlier today, just as we're analyzing what we're doing in our own business and some of the things we want to be talking about, is the one thing I think I told you, Mark, was this time is going to get spent one way or another. Like this next couple weeks, you know, Trump's got this 15-day thing. I think we're on day 13 now. So Trump's got this 15-day clock, essentially. And it might be longer. You know, we could be in this for months. Who knows? But we know we've got this 15-day kind of partial shutdown in many ways and social distancing and all that. But that time is going to get spent one way or another. But are you going to waste it away on Netflix and the hype and the media and watching the news and everything and getting worked up about it? Are you going to make an investment with that time? And I think for a lot of us, we can take this time as an investment to get a lot of things in order in your business. Look at your strategic plan of the things you wanted to accomplish this year. If you didn't do a strategic plan, hey, use this time to do your strategic plan for 2020. But look at the things you wanted to accomplish and start hitting away at some of those. Use this time wisely. Don't get sucked into the media and just listening and following what's going on. This could be an investment in you, in yourself and in your business. So and that's what we're trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do personally. That's what we're trying to do in our businesses. And we're still busy helping clients too. We found a lot of clients are using this time to get a lot of their stuff done that kind of goes by the wayside when you're in the day-to-day of running your business or making your investments and living life. So so we're still here for you, but I just want to give that little message about how to use this time.
I love it. Let me make a brief comment. We've got a lot to cover. I love it, Matt. And in fact, I want to add a little bit to what you said. And then I'm going to bring up the IRS extension. I've already got a number of questions on that. So I want to provide some clarity on that. That's got to be our first topic today, I think, is what do we do about our tax deadlines? But just to echo Matt, what have we been doing on this show for the last 3 months? We have been talking about 2020 planning, getting your strategic plan in place, your marketing plan, being better organized as a business owner. Do you have your company maintenance done? Is your estate plan done? I mean, some people in our even circle of friends and employees are there's a couple of people a little bit afraid about mortality and death. You know, what is this virus going to do to one of our family members? Is your will and trust in place? So we get talking about this for 3 months, and so many of our clients go, I don't have time. I'm too busy. Well, look at this as a blessing in disguise. I know that may sound a little too cheery right now when everybody's a little scared. If you have been laid off of your job, maybe this is the time to start that side gig, start that side small business, work on developing that little strategic plan, dive into some education, suck up every possible YouTube channel of mine, read every book. I've got a book list of books I'd recommend. You know, let's use this time to be better prepared next time to have a source of income that maybe can help in a time like this. So let's rock and roll, people. That's what I'm doing. I'm freaking busy. Do you know this week I've already added up? I'm already over 40 hours. I'm swamped.
Yeah.
And so and I'm not slowing down.
I know.
So
I feel you.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, like even at Directed IRA with IRA stuff, we're still seeing those accounts come through. People are finding time, and it's a great time to be doing your backdoor Roth IRA right now. Get that done. For many of you that have, like, you know, kind of delayed doing a backdoor Roth, that's a great time to get it done. Figure it out. We got the procedure down for you on our website. If you go to my blog or even Mark's, he's got videos too. So get a lot of these things done. Let's just make an investment with this time. Don't just spend it and waste it away.
Yep. Okay, now let's talk tax. Talk taxes and IRS. Anne Marie, regular listener to the show, she said, I'm going to just open it with her question. She says, I extend my tax deadline and normally pay my taxes in October. Anne Marie, sometimes I do. And what happens? You pay some interest and penalties, as I do.
Right.
I'd rather have that money on hand right now, even after the July deadline that we just got extended. What exactly is the tax penalty and interest? I want to analyze the cost of it. Okay, so before I get into the exact numbers, Anne Marie, you're already paying some penalty. Now, let's be clear here. Okay, everybody. Taxes are all due by April 15th. If you're even a pass-through organization, like an S-Corp or an LLC, you should have extended your tax return a week ago, and now we're preparing for April 15th. So if you're an individual taxpayer, you can extend. And I always extend. I always extend. Take the time to prepare my tax return. But the IRS wants their money. This is very important, people. This is the normal standard procedure. You want to extend or file your 1040 and then pay and estimate what you think you owe and send it in April 15th. Now, some people like me and Anne Marie, sometimes in April, I don't have the extra cash, I'm using it for a project, and I say, you know what, I'm going to extend, because if I don't, there's a penalty for not filing. But if I do owe some money, I'm going to say, I'm going to wait and do it, and maybe before October. Now, if I wait until July, August, or October to send in that money, I've got to pay penalties and interest on it. And then, if I don't file everything by October 15th, the penalties and interest get even worse. Okay, so that's the normal operating procedure. I've been saying it on videos for years. It's in my articles. That's how it works. Now, what Trump and the Treasury Department and the IRS, well, what President Trump asked for and what the IRS and Treasury Department delivered on is Tuesday, yesterday, they said, we're going to give you 90 days free, no penalty and interest. You still got to extend by April 15th. All the other deadlines still apply. If you want to do an IRA, if you want to fund a Coverdale, if you want to do any of these little tax planning strategies we're always talking about, all those deadlines still apply. But if you owe, and you're like Mark Kohler or Anne Marie here, and say, well, I don't want to put any money into the IRS, and what the government's hoping is all these people that are struggling that, oh, you don't have to pay right now. You got an extra 90 days. So you can go until July 15th with no penalties and interest. But if you don't pay the taxes you think you owe, even if you extended, you're going to pay penalties and interest as of July 15th. And so the moral of the story is, if you think you're deserving a refund, file. Get that money. You need it right now. and the IRS is processing returns. Accountants around the country, we're busy. Get your return freaking done if you think you're going to get a refund. If you think you owe, at least file an extension. Still got to do that, so there's no penalty. But you have an extension to pay for 90 days. And there's going to be so much confusion on this. I'm on 3 news channels in the next 4 days around the country via Skype telling people around the country it's not an extension to file and it's an extension to pay. Still get your extension in and freaking file if you want to. Matt, what would you add?
Yes, I think a lot of people, why the government didn't move the deadline, there's 2 reasons for that. One is you can always file an extension, as Mark just said, for filing, of course. And also, a lot of people are getting refunds. They want that money in the economy. They don't want you to delay filing because a lot of people get refunds and kind of wait to the last minute despite the fact they're getting a refund. So that was the reason they didn't move the deadline to file. But we still got the extension, and of course, as Mark mentioned, you got the delay on paying. I was going to talk about, Mark, about the SBA. This is the other government initiative that's happened. There's been some mercy, of course, as you mentioned, on the deadline to pay. But you want to talk about the SBA loan stuff? I got little points on that. We can transition to that. There's some questions that came in on this SBA disaster loan type stuff that's slowly getting rolled out.
Yes, and before you do, let me clarify just one or two last items on the tax issue. And I'll come back to the penalties and interest because I don't want to get caught in that minutia for a moment. But I will answer your questions on what those actually are. It's in a blog article on my website too. But it's up to $1 million of taxes. Now, some of you out there are like, I wish I owed $1 million in taxes.
Yeah,
I made $10 million. But I just want to clarify that. It's up to $10 million. And also, it's up to $10
million
for a C corporation. Pardon?
It's up to $1 million in taxes,
so
right?
It's up to $1 million in taxes if you're an individual. It's up to $10
yep.
million if you're a C corporation. Now, the distinction
okay.
here, again, I want to get everybody clarified here. If you're an S corp or an LLC, your extension was due on the 15th. That's pretty much about 5 days ago. If you missed that extension deadline, now this has been in our newsletter for a month and a half, but if you missed that extension, you better get filed. Your penalties are ratcheting up now, which are they're over $200 per shareholder per month, and that kicks in 15 days, and then it starts again on April 1st, and then on March 1st, you'd be owing $400. So you really want to get those tax returns filed. And then you may say, well, if I owe money, that's okay. You've got 90 days to pay. See, the filing is still going on,
yeah.
people. That's
and you can still extend your personal.
That.
So you've
you
got the
still
time
extend
to still
it.
Extend your personal anyways because you got to April 15th to get that extension.
Yes, yes. All right. So, Matt, what is the SBA doing? Let's go over there for a minute. We'll come back to these penalties.
Okay, so they are providing they're called disaster assistance loans right now. They're up to $2 million, and the loan rate is 3.75, which is pretty dang good. Now, they're working with the banks, but the nice thing about the SBA loans is the government insures them. So the banks, it's like basically a free guarantor. The United States government is guaranteeing these. So they're going to be excited to make these loans despite your credit profile. I mean, seriously. So now the question, of course, is do you really want debt? And there are some contingencies on what you can use it for. So it can only be for fixed debts, like, you know, you have operating debts you have to pay in your business. Payroll, of course, is one thing they're allowing it for. Accounts payable, you owe other people money, obviously, to operate your business, provide services to you or product, and then and other bills that you've determined that can't be paid because of the disaster's impact. So I think a lot of business owners are worried about kind of their debt service if they have it, or payroll for their employees. You know, a lot of the restaurants that are closing and stuff, I mean, you know, those employees are just like not getting paid at all. And some companies, like the bigger companies, have been saying, you know, I know that some of the retailers that have closed have said, hey, if you were scheduled to work, we're still paying you those hours despite the fact that we closed. But those are big, large corporations that don't go to the SBA. Those are companies that just have a line of credit or they got a lot of cash in the bank, they can go sell the stock on a public stock exchange. We're not worried about those people. But
yeah,
I think this SBA loan is a good one. If you are a small business owner that might need to tap that, you'll want to work with the SBA lender, and these programs are getting launched right now. So, from what I've seen and what I've read about it so far is because the government is guaranteeing them, the banks are very eager to lend on them because, if your company goes belly up, can't come through personally, the federal government's going to backstop the bank on it.
Yeah. Okay. Now let me add a couple points here too. We've got a number of live callers that have some questions or comments. Hang on the line. We'll come back over to you. And also a couple specific questions about what if a tenant can't pay their rent, or a lot of VRBOs. Let's think of all these clients of ours that have short-term rentals, and Airbnb and VRBO saying, that's okay, we're going to refund your money. But us, the landlords, are stuck holding the bag on a mortgage payment or a lease payment, depending on our strategy for that Airbnb or VRBO. So let me come to that as well. So here's what I want to say about any of you that are really struggling. One of the key things you have to do is pull out a piece of paper and make a list of what are my financial requirements in the next 30 days. What are the things I know? What are the things that need to generally be paid? And maybe create two lists. The ones, and I'm going to give you a few that are absolutely critical on the left, and then maybe those that, man, I hope I can pay these on the right. You're going to be putting down things like maybe some basic things like I'm going to have to buy some food. There may be rent on there. There may be a house payment. There may be and you're thinking of your personal life and your business too. Maybe you're going to have two sheets of paper, the personal and the business. See what I'm saying? I need everybody to sit down and do an accounting. What is my this is typically what's called a cash flow projection. What are my cash outflows that I'm expected to have in my business in the next 30 days or in my personal life? Now, here's where this gets a little crazy. And Matt reminded me of this with his comment just a moment ago. On that list of payments that need to go out the door, we're right around the corner from payroll taxes. Now, you may say, well, I'm not going to – no, this is important, everybody, listen. Even for yourself, you may say, well, I don't have enough money to make payroll, let alone make my payroll deposit. See, you've been having payroll the last 3 months, maybe the last few weeks, and you're thinking, oh, I've got to make a payroll deposit in the next 4 weeks. And you're going to say to yourself, I've been there. You're going to go, well, I'll make it later. That is
playing with fire, man. Playing with fire.
You are playing with fire. If there's any expense on your list that could be more important, I don't know which one, unless it's I've got to go to the emergency room and they won't see me unless I give them $1,000. I cannot tell you enough how important it is that you make your payroll deposits at all costs. If you have to skip rent, if you have to skip a mortgage payment, who knows what we may see some consideration from on our FICO scores and fixing our credit after this is all over. But if you don't make your payroll deposits, the penalties are off the chart. They are terrible, and you can get in big trouble. It can literally take down your business in a way you cannot imagine. We've had people come to our office that have literally gone to jail. Now, that's when they snowball out of control for months. But people, this is a difficult train to get off of once you get on that crazy train of not paying payroll taxes. So when Matt says the SBA is willing to give a loan to help for things like payroll taxes, go get in line right now. Go get online right now, whatever you've got to do to get that loan, if you foresee the problem of not being able to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely important.
Yes, yes. By the way, these disaster assistance loans, you go to disasterloan.sba.gov, disasterloan.sba.gov, goes through the steps on there. So I love that. Well, let me just hit one other tip on this disaster stuff and how to kind of manage the crisis in your business. Because you were starting to talk about, like, basically taking the temperature from an accounting and financial standpoint. Yeah. And I think you need to look at your department, even if you're a solo entrepreneur, those of you out there that have just, it's just you, okay, or you've got a whole, so you've got 1,000 employees, okay, you need to do the same analysis. Break things down into the core functions in your business. Look at your accounting and finance. Run your numbers like Mark was talking about. What are your outlays? What's your budget right now that you're going to need to spend on? Is your accounts receivable, your cash flow being affected right now? Whether it's your Airbnb rental that you're not getting income on now, or whether it's your restaurant that's closed, or you're the real estate broker that's not having a property closed right now, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you know, assess that. Maybe you're in the healthcare industry and business is booming. I don't know. So assess your accounting and finances. And make an analysis there, obviously, but also work through your company in different areas. What do you need to be doing with your HR? Do you have employees? Do they know your current sick leave policies? Have you communicated them? You know, do you have social media channels that you're using? Do you have a newsletter list? Do you have a customer list? How do you communicate to your clients? Do they know, you know what I mean? And as I'm going through this, I want you to think of things that you don't have. Like maybe you don't have a good social media presence that your customers follow you on. Maybe you don't have a newsletter or customer database that you're using to communicate with your clients. As we talked about spending time right now, this is the time to gather that. And again, I don't care if you're whether you're the real estate agent or the company with thousands of employees or wherever you are in this profession. You're a music teacher, you know. I mean, I've talked to clients like that are doing like Zoom music lessons right now. So wherever you are in this, how do you communicate? And if you're lacking these communication methods, build those up. If you're lacking a budget for your business, and you don't have clients and customer service right now, maybe it's a great time to build out your budget for your business so you know how to operate and you can be a little more strategic in making planning and decisions in important times like now and all other times. And the list can go on. I can keep rattling on about this, but I just want to lay out a few things to be thinking about in managing this crisis. Being proactive, there's a lot to do. Don't just twiddle your thumbs and get sucked into Netflix and the media on following this. I think it's a good time to be proactive and do some house cleaning right now.
Okay. I love it. All right. Now, I want to just – before – I don't know. We've got two callers on. I've got them screened and ready to go. Their questions are not about business survival per se. We're talking about tax and legal issues. And so we're going to kind of keep a variety here. And jump over to some just standard good questions, and then we'll come back to maybe some virus pandemic type issues. Now, I do want to summarize this before I go. This is an article of mine on my blog titled "What to Do If You Can't Pay Your Taxes," and this is you can go right over to the blog at markjkohler.com and read the detail on this. Here's the rule that typically people face when they don't pay their taxes April 15th. So this is, and this goes to Anne Marie. So I'm going to use Anne Marie as an example. If she can't or doesn't want to pay her taxes on April 15th, she would normally pay interest at annual rate of 6%. So that's basically 0.5% per month in interest. And then 1.5% per month penalty for not sending in the money April 15th. So if you added that up, that's about a 2% penalty. So on $10,000, your interest and penalty would be about $200 per month you don't pay your taxes. Now, because of this extension, that's $200. You're not going to get hit with that. In that example, you have until July 15th. So now, if you by July 15th, Anne Marie goes, well, I don't want to pay my taxes still. I'm going to wait till October 15th. Then those penalties and interest kick in at that point. So generally, everybody, you're looking at about 2% per month starting July 15th when it hits, if you don't pay by July 15th. And those are the real numbers that you want to keep in mind. Now, if we go into a code red scenario, if after April, after October 15th, you don't file or you can't pay, those are some other stories. We'll bring that up when that time comes. But for now, everybody, that should be an answer enough for you that you can plan on kind of a hit of 2% per month on what you owe. But now you've got a get-out-of-jail-free card for 3 months. Okay, let's go over to a live question here from Bob out in Seattle. And Ground Zero, Bob, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks very much, Mark. How you doing? And I guess it is Ground Zero. I live about 30 miles northwest, but even in my little town, the restaurants are shut down, theaters are closed, so it's widespread. It's the only good news about the situation in Seattle is the traffic jams are nil now. But who wants to be out?
Yeah, I don't know where to go.
You know, I guess so anybody with a high performance car would love to get on the freeway right now.
That's
anyway,
true. Yeah.
Oh my God, we've got Grand Theft Auto going on. But you know, it's funny. Anybody that's been to Seattle, the traffic is horrendous, and it is so funny that when we're saying, "Look at the bright side of things," and you know, "Where's the blessing in disguise?" And I love that you say, "Yeah, there's no traffic, but there's nowhere to go." You know, so it's like, what the? You know, anyway. Okay, you got a 401k question for us.
Yeah, it's a fairly simple one. I was, and by the way, Matt, I was hoping to run into you at Aaron's event, noteworthy event, or down in Anaheim last month. So sorry I missed you there. But I was talking to one of the custodians, and I was telling them I have a solo 401k that's I've had for 3 years now, and I was under the impression I couldn't take any withdrawals until age 5 years. And he asked if I had another IRA. I said, yeah, I've got a Roth I've had for about 8 years. He says, oh no, as long as you have another account that's over 5 years, you can withdraw from your solo K. And I wanted to kind of get your opinion on that as well, you guys' opinion.
You mean, okay, you've made a Roth 401K contributions, and you want to start taking money out?
Yeah. I have a Roth, a regular Roth that I've had for 8 years. And then I started
when you say a regular Roth, what do you mean a regular Roth? Like a Roth,
I mean,
Roth IRA?
A Roth.
Like,
yeah, Roth IRA.
Roth IRA.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have that with my custodian. And then I approached my custodian 3 years ago and said, hey, I want to start a solo K under one of my active income LLCs. So we set that up 3 years ago, and I'm using the employee Roth contribution for the contributions to the solo K employee account, right? Makes sense.
Okay. And how old are you?
Yeah. I am 64, I guess, at this point.
Okay.
So I'm over 59 and a half.
Well, I'd love it. I could even answer this, which is really unique for me. So I'd love it. But Matt,
I like it.
You go ahead. Okay. I want to hear the master. This is right up his, this is his cup of tea.
No, I was actually making sure I was right on this. So you go ahead and answer. You go ahead and answer it, because if you know, I'm going to follow your lead. I'll tell you what I think.
Oh,
but.
Wow. Okay. Man, I'm under the gun. Okay, so everybody up to speed here. Let's just get the facts out, because it was a little confusing. Bob is over age 60, and he has a regular Roth IRA, and he also has a 401k Roth account. Now, the rule is, once you turn 59 and a half or have had your Roth IRA for at least 5 years, you can start taking with distributions penalty and tax-free. Now, I'm not going to talk about the rule before you're 59 and a half. Who cares? Bob's over 60, so that's what we're talking about here. So he's got a Roth IRA that he's had at least 5 years, and he can start taking distributions from that anytime he wants because he's over age 59 and a half, and he's been around for at least, and it's been around for at least 5 years. It's got to be one of the two, whichever's less. So we're good to go. Now he's got this Roth 401k, and he wants to take money out of that. Now I believe the rule is, in order to do that, because it hasn't been around 5 years, he's got to move the Roth 401k, do a little transfer or a rollover, whatever Roth amount he wants to, and he can do it anytime he wants, just do a little in-service distribution of that Roth out to his Roth IRA, and then he could take it out of the Roth IRA. Because that IRA account has been around 5 years. It's not since you deposited. It's since the account was opened. So you can take money out of that Roth IRA anytime you want. You just have to move money from the Roth 401k into that Roth IRA when you want to take it. Now, Matt, am I wrong? That's just my...
Yes. You are. That is correct. I was even clarifying this as you were talking to make sure. So, the one thing that's tricky that I think people get stuck. You know, Bob's lucky because he's had a Roth IRA. People will like have the Roth 401k, maybe even at a, you know, whether it's a solo K or at a big company 401k. And if you roll it out to a Roth IRA, which is a brand new Roth IRA, guess what? You're starting 5 years all over again before you can pull out even a rollover out of the 401k. You don't even account the 401k time. So the rules are unique to each for the 401k and the Roth IRA.
Okay.
But since you have the Roth IRA for 5 years, rolling it out from the 401k to Roth IRA, then take the distribution from the Roth IRA would be fine. And since you're over 60, you can do that. Now, of course, this is only really worried about the gains here. Money you put into a Roth IRA or Roth 401k that you take back out, that's simply your contribution amounts, is not taxable anyways or subject to penalty. So we're only talking about the gains here, really.
That's
what you're worried about, is the gains.
Yeah, I've been doing the quarterly rollovers to my Roth IRA and then taking monthly distributions. But the question is, can I just take a direct distribution from my solo 401k Roth rather than having to – okay, so that's still on a five-year timeline then. Is that correct?
Well,
yes. And it's a pain in the butt. Because here's the problem. If you start taking out distributions from your Roth 401k, you got to start doing 1099s. From, you know, to track the distributions. So a lot of solo K clients, you know, find that surprising when they're using a solo K. That's like, well, crap, I got to start doing 1099s when I take distributions. Yes. And now you wouldn't have withholding on it, luckily, because it's Roth money. If this was traditional, you'd have to also do withholdings, which makes it even more of a pain. So we love it when clients roll out of a solo K into an IRA and then just take the distribution from the IRA, because now the IRA custodian, whether it's us or, you know, a broker-dealer IRA or a bank IRA, they're going to do the 1099 for you reporting that distribution. So I think it makes your life easier, actually, the way you're doing it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I was just curious, but it makes sense. I don't want to have to file any 1099s from a direct distribution, it's worth it, I guess, just doing the in and out.
Yeah, even though it's not taxable because it's Roth, but you still have to do the 1099 and code it like that.
Yeah.
So just get it to the IRA and let the IRA custodian do it when you distribute out of there.
Okay, good.
Well, Bob,
On a second, real quick note, if you can't get Purell at your local store, look up a recipe for hand sanitizer. It's real easy. I just made a quart of it yesterday.
Oh, okay. That's a great idea.
Interesting.
Well, thank you so much, Bob, for calling in. And I'm going to keep pushing us along here, and it was a little delay. So
I don't know if Bob has a recipe. I don't know if there's a recipe for toilet paper out there, but I don't know, whip that up, but
and Bob, I think that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm trying to push the show along, and I appreciate your patience. I always like to say goodbye to our callers, but I'm glad you just interject that there's a recipe at home to make hand sanitizer, which I think is wonderful. So that's get out on the web and look that up. Now let's make one. Let's jump back and forth. Let's go over to the pandemic topic for a moment, if I could, before we jump over to another tax and legal question. And what I wanted to just throw out that I think is really important for everyone is, if you've got employees and you're trying to figure out, how can I work from home? How can my employees work from home? Bob, I don't know if you heard it. He maybe said it behind the scenes. He and his wife have been working home for years. And so that's not a problem for them. But there's a lot of people trying to go to work at home, and they're not, you know, what are the barriers? What should I do? So here's the tip. Tomorrow at noon Eastern time, Matt and I and another business for consultant, Rulin Olson, we are hosting a free webinar through entrepreneur.com. We are very honored to do this. This is entrepreneurs' response to helping small business owners. We're going to hold a webinar tomorrow at noon at Eastern Time on Thursday. What's the day of the week is that, Matt? I'm going to make sure I get that's the 19th. And if you want to register for that webinar, which is free, get over to entrepreneur.com. So we're not going to take time today on this show to kind of get and go down that rabbit hole of what to do with employees and how to work from home and software and some of those things. But we're going to do it tomorrow. So everybody, if that's a concern of yours and like, why aren't you guys talking about this? We're going to dive deep tomorrow at noon Eastern time. So please get over there.
Love it.
All right.
All right. Okay. Well, I got a question. I thought it was pretty good. A little tax question came in.
Okay. You do it. Okay.
All right. Okay. This came in from Kim. She says, hi, guys. My husband and I bought a plot of land in 2015 that we intended to build a primary residence on. We ended up buying another house and never built, though. We then sold the lot in 2019. We purchased it for $210 and sold it for $240. Okay, that's good. Even though it looks like a gain, which it would, it looks like you had about a $30,000 gain, between real estate taxes, insane HOA fees, we actually took a loss. Is there a chance taxes and the HOA dues would go towards a cost basis and we wouldn't end up having to pay taxes on the supposed gain of $30,000? Or any other way to report the transaction so it doesn't look like we made a profit? So as a side note, we sold our primary residence in 2019, but can exclude that gain because it's a little below the threshold for a couple. Okay, that's good. Well, now this wouldn't have been a residence anyways because this was land. You never lived on it. But this is, I think this is pretty straightforward. This is going to go on Schedule D on your personal tax return. It's just an investment piece of land that you held. You sold it for a gain. But the taxes and the HOA fees are going to be added to your basis set to basically offset some of this gain that you had of the supposed gain of $30,000. So now these are essentially an expense, I should say, to the gain you have. So definitely track those. You will claim those when you're completing Schedule D. There's a worksheet you fill out for that. But definitely don't feel like you're paying the $30,000 in taxes. Mark, any thoughts on that or specific CPA comments?
No.
So the Schedule D, was I in the right zone?
Good with that. Yep, you're on the right zone. Let's go over to Stacy. You know, I love it. I was able to answer a Roth IRA question, which was I'm very excited about. You handled that one just wonderfully. So we're scratching each other's back.
Okay,
let's go over to Stacy in Atlanta. Hopefully, Stacy, we've got a good connection here. How's it going?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Oh, good. Good connection, too. We're excited to talk with you.
Yeah, what do you got for us? You got a toilet paper recipe?
My mother she wants to use her 401(k) to pay off the remaining balance of her house and the mortgage on her house. But I feel like, you know, and I could be wrong, but there may be some unnecessary fees and all that stuff associated with it. So I want to know what you guys thought about using a 403(b) to pay off the rest of the mortgage of the house. And she is a senior. She's 66 and retired. Or are there other avenues she could use to do that? I don't know.
Okay. Good question. So let's now remember, a 403(b), just for those who don't know, that's usually probably worked for a state or local government, maybe a federal government worker, or maybe a nonprofit. It's kind of like a 401(k). And those are traditional funds typically. So now she's over 59 and a half. So if she pulls the money out as a distribution, she wouldn't have a 10% penalty, but she's going to have to pay taxes on that money. So let's say she owes $100,000 on her mortgage and she takes $100,000 from the 403(b). She's going to put $100,000 on the taxes on her income for 2020. And if she's in a 30% tax bracket, that's going to cost $30,000 in taxes. So I generally am not a fan of that. There's no way to self-direct it either. Of course, you can use 403(b) could be rolled into a self-directed IRA and could invest in real estate, but it can't be used to pay off your own home, a mortgage that you owe. That would be a prohibited transaction. So I don't see a good fit. The only thing I would note that I think sometimes is a good use to use your retirement account to pay off your own mortgage or debt is if she was still working, and this is for anyone that may have a 403B or a 401K, you can take a loan of half the balance of the 401K up to 50 grand, and you can do this in 403Bs too a lot. You could take a loan from that, take that 50 grand, use it to pay off the debt, the mortgage or whatever it may be. Well, I don't know what the interest rate is on it, but you use that to pay it off. And then you're paying back your own 403B or 401K account, that $50,000 that you loaned out. So a lot of people use that money in their retirement account to do that $50,000 loan to pay off higher interest debt. And then you're going to pay back at prime plus 2%, which prime is pretty dang low right now. So you'd have a low rate paying your own retirement account back. But that's one strategy. I don't think it will work in your mom's situation if she's retired, because generally that $50,000 loan is not allowed when you're retired.
Yeah. Now, and let me throw out another idea. This could be another take on this. I would like to see your mom's tax return. How much is coming in Social Security? Maybe there's other income you're not, we got to have a consultation. Sometimes clients are like, oh, by the way, she has this little rental, or by the way, she has this annuity, or by the way, she has this. So what I would want to do is kind of do a 360 type analysis. Let's look at her over. We could do this in a half hour, maybe an hour at most. So it doesn't have to be expensive, and most accountants could do this. But I want to look at your mom's whole return. What tax bracket is she in? Why does she want to pay it off? What are the other options? What's the urgency? How much money is in the 403B? And one of the tricks that I might do or say is, what bracket is she in? Maybe we can chunk at it. That's a term Matt knows I love to use whenever possible. And that is, we could take maybe a small piece of the 403B every year. And so if she owes 50 grand on the home mortgage and she's got 100 grand in a 403B, rather than do it all at once, let's take 10 grand this year, 10 grand next year. And it may not even increase the tax bill. It may keep us in under a certain bracket. That could be a wise move. And we're saving interest on the loan. So we do it in pieces rather than all at once. And that could be a nice strategy. So I'd recommend whoever your accountant is, and it could be anyone in our office, they don't have to be your regular accountant, lay out mom's return, her whole financial picture, what are the reasons why we're considering this, and look at maybe a chunking process or a one-time, or maybe mom's got a little small business, or you do, and you could roll mom's 403B into a 401K in your business, a solo or something, and then do a loan thing. So there are lots of options. I think you need to just have all the facts, and a good advisor could give you some ideas.
Okay. Could I ask a follow-up question around what you guys mentioned, which was amazing? Thank you both.
thanks, sure.
Yeah. So she has about $62,000 in her 403B. What's left on the mortgage is around $50,000. And so I was going to ask, because I do have my own business, if I hire her part-time, could that be considered her being employed, or would that not work?
Well, I would say this.
Yes.
Don't be offended. But, yeah.
Probably it's not going to work.
it would be, and there's now again. That's why I say, and please don't be offended that I'm not trying to get rid of you, Stacey. But in fairness to all the other listeners, that's what the consult would be about, because that is a conversation that could take 10 to 15 minutes alone. And that's okay. We'd want to know, what's your business? Do you have a solo 401k? Why part-time? Maybe full-time? Could she do a rollover? And so that's the conversation. I wish we could answer it just here briefly on a radio show. But hopefully we've given you enough hope, though, that a consultation with a professional that knows what they're doing in this area, I think you could find a solution.
Did. So thank you for your time, and it's okay. No, thanks for your time. And she's only on Social Security, so I'll definitely reach out. Thank you.
Okay.
You bet.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All righty, Matt, what do you got there? You got a pandemic type comment, a question in the hopper that you
Yeah, I was just going to give, on the final few minutes here, I know we wanted to end early, just a few minutes early, because we got some other meetings to get to. But I was just going to give kind of my my final thoughts. I mean, do you want me to give them now, or did you have something you wanted to interject, a question? I was going to close out with my, like, you know, my speech, but, which you can give a speech after, you know.
Okay, let's do it. Why don't you give your speech, and then I'll comment, and maybe I'll take a listener's question, or I'll do my own. So you go.
Okay. I just want to tell you what I'm doing. And I think, and just talking to some of the clients that I've been working with this week, or, you know, I feel like Mark and I are in the trenches with this, just in our own businesses and in some of our clients that we're consulting, is look at your strategic plan. If you don't have a strategic plan, go back and listen to the podcast we did on strategic planning. But look at your strategic plan of what you want to do for 2020. Look at the items and reassess right now. I sense a lot of our business owners, some of them are slowing down a little bit, but use this time to execute on your strategic plan. Get a lot of the things that you're behind on done. Ramp up your marketing. Ramp up your product improvements or service improvements. Ramp up your communication stuff. Improve things in your company. Do training for yourself or other people. Like, a lot of the things you wanted to get to. Write that book. Start that blog. Use this time. Like I said earlier, it's going to get spent one way or another. Just let's make it an investment. And so that's the message we're trying to do on our own organizations and even just in my own personal life. I mean, I got to be honest. I love to ride bikes. That's my personal hobby. It's fitness for me. It's my hobby. I love it. I've been terrible about getting out on my bike. Like this last week, it's like my form of social distancing. I go get out on my bike. I ride my mountain bike out of my door. I love it. And so take the time to do those things right now. It's more important now than ever to be busy, stay focused, get after your goals.
I love it. I was trying to be ambitious, and we had a live caller that had a question about a 457 loan and trying to roll it over into an IRA and what are the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act options. And I have to say, in our last couple minutes, it may be too difficult to try to field. So I'm going to ask any of those live callers that are on hold, and I appreciate your patience. If we weren't able to get to your question, please type it up in an email, send it over. To Mark at KKOS Lawyers or Matt, M-A-T, at KKOS Lawyers. And we'll do our best to field that in a brief reference to an article or something, or just recommend a consult. We'll see what we can do. But please be patient.
I have a blog article on that. I have a blog article on that. If you go to sdrahandbook.com, that was one of the things that happened in the I don't know if it's Secure Act or Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, one of the recent bills that came out that allowed the rollovers of plan loans over to IRAs. So check that out.
Oh, good, good, good. So my live caller that's on hold, you just heard that. Get over it. Go to sdirahandbook.com. Probably put in the search bar 457 and or a loan, and you'll see his article come up. Matt's got great articles on a lot of these topics already.
Yeah,
so that,
I think I wrote it as to 401ks. So you might search for 401k, but it's 457 is applied to.
Okay, that's great. Okay, well, in the last minute and a half here, here's what I want to just say to everybody out there, and I am so grateful that I get this. It's an honor that someone might take what I have to say and use it in some form or fashion. Here it is. This is a wake-up call. This will pass. You know, in the next few weeks or months, it's going to be a bump in the road, all of us financially, yes, and hopefully it'll be over soon, but it will pass. But that doesn't mean we go back to our same old operation. Let's use this as a wake-up call. We need to have better food storage, emergency supplies in our homes. We need to be thinking of other sources of income, having a small business on the side, little things that we could be doing and using this time wisely so that next time the next crisis comes, because it will, whether it's a natural disaster, maybe it's another disease of some sort, we need to be prepared. So, yeah. So, take some time to get relaxed, but also get your life in order. Take this as a wake-up call, and let's be better prepared next time. I'm doing that. So, thanks, everybody. Catch us tomorrow, Thursday at noon. At entrepreneur.com.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's eBooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.